Everybody in this room today, anybody outside, has a belief system. You believe in something, and whatever we believe in drives our life. For instance, you came in today, and everybody had a firm belief that if they sat on these pews, you will not crash on the floor, because you have an understanding of what took place in order to make these pews and this worship center to stand. That is the same way with us in our spiritual life. When we have our vision of God and our understanding of God, we'll have a direct proportion on what we believe and what we truly understand about His Word. So we're going to look at pushing back the darkness for the next few moments. And I'd like to begin with Scripture, so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, and also take your worship guide or bulletins, there'll be a few things for you to kind of fill in. I think this will help. It always does to write something down, and you can take it back home and kind of look over it. But he says something very interesting here. I think sometimes we don't understand all the words, even if they're simple. So let's go to 1 John and the first chapter and verse 5. And if you don't have it in the Bible there, or you have a Bible in front of you, we'll have it on a screen here. Here's what this says here. I want us to capture this morning. This is the message we heard from Jesus. In other words, they're not making this stuff up. They heard it directly from the Son of God. This is the message we heard from Jesus. And now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. Now, what does that really mean? What does the word light really mean? Now, we've come to understand it as something physical. It says in the Scriptures and in the Bible in lots of places, but particularly at the beginning, God created what? Light, and it was good. In the Psalm, one of the Psalms proclaimed that God is clothed in a garment of light. During the Exodus, when the Jewish people were led out of Egypt, it was called the Shekinah glory, that God's light was a pillar of fire by night. On the Transfiguration, on the mountain, when the disciples and Jesus went up on the mountain, it says His garments became as white as light. And even James said, He is the Father of lights. Well, what does that still really mean? We understand it from a physical point. We need light. We need warmth. But it's a little bit deeper. And you have to go back and look in the context which this was written. In the Hebrew time, in the ancient times, people of all religions, even some till still today, people of all religions view light as a holy thing. I didn't really realize that, but they did. They viewed light as a holy thing, as some type of deity. That's why you have a number of religions worship the sun, have a sun god, have a moon god, and they worship light. But the cool thing about God is that God is always relevant. When His word is written and when He speaks, it's as relative as 2,000 or 3,000 years ago as it is today. So as we look at that, we want to look at the understanding of what light really means. So if we go to the next slide, like a lot of scriptures, you want to fill this in, light is somewhat a metaphor. Even though it has its own particular meaning, it illuminates. The stronger the light, the stronger the illumination. Here's what it meant in the Bible. And this is just some, it may be more, but I like these words. First of all, when it mentioned about God is light, it is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is salvation. God's light is what? Salvation and eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. God's light is holiness. It is holiness. It is righteousness. It is goodness. It is God's favor. What is God's favor? That He takes delight in you and me. God's favor, He takes delight. He is interested and He desires to be with us. And it also means God's presence. Now, when you think about the light of God, that God is light, and this is just a part of His character, part of His nature, no wonder Jesus says the scripture here. He says, I am the what? Light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life that leads to light. In God, there is no sin. In God, there's no injustice. There is no wrongdoing. It is pure, pure light. So that's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus' light of the world is just as powerful as God's light. The two are in as one. So in walking in God's light, in walking in that light and in that presence, excuse me, I've got a little rough voice this morning. Walking in the pure light of God requires for all of us to relinquish our sins and follow Jesus Christ. That's the next point. Now, that is easier said than done. Sure, I'm going to release all of my sins, but what does that really mean? I want you to take what Jesus said, because I think it's a very interesting scripture here. Luke 11:35. It says, make sure the light you think you have is not actually darkness. Now, we're going to come back to that in a moment, because when I look at that, it gets kind of, may confuse you. Well, I know I'm a Christian. I'm living what way God wants me to. Is the light that I have not real? Well, yes, it probably is. But yet, it is very possible for a Christian to fall into darkness. So, let me ask you a question today. Where does light end and darkness begins? Think about that. Where does light end physically and darkness begins? Today, looked up the time. We all got up a little bit later, but the clock said 6:30 a.m. this morning. Is that when light begins? The answer to that question is no. Now, sunset today is at 5:39 or 5:40 p.m. You can go check me out if I'm wrong. Write me a note or something. But at 5:40 p.m., it's sunset. Is that when darkness begins? The answer is no. Those are times when the plane of the sun sets below the horizon. The point is, there is no one particular point of reference when light and darkness come together or overcomes. In other words, light either overcomes darkness or darkness overcomes the light. It's a meshing together. People, that is the same thing in the spiritual life. Depending on our beliefs in God and how strong God's light is in our personal life, it overcomes or pushes the darkness, or the opposite happens. The darkness overcomes us. So what I did, I just want to do just a little visual thing this morning to give us a point of reference. On the screen here, you say, here's some circles there. Now, in the next frame here, you'll see a white dot. This is where we want to be. This is God's holy presence, His pure light, salvation, eternal life, goodness. All that is right there, and this is where we want to be. Now, for some reason, as we go on in our lives, for whatever reason, we may slip just a little bit out of that light, and it's not as bright, is it? It's a little more shady. It's what I like to call the shady areas, and we kind of hang out in that area. Now, this, just making up stuff here. Let's just say life gets real busy. You guys and parents that have kids, teenagers, or whatever, you're blowing and going, and the big thing is the busyness keeps happening in our lives. And we kind of move out a little further to the next realm. And it is what? It is a little bit darker now. It gets a little shady and darker. Now, we still belong to God. We're in God's presence, but it's just a little bit darker. Now, let's say a couple of things here. Life hits you up with a couple of bad things, tragedy, some real hurts, some issues, whatever it is. We get knocked out a little bit further. It is what? Darker. Where is God's light? Where is God's light at this point? It's dead center, and it is possible for us to meander from one thing to the next, until we finally get to the end, at the very edge, where you know what? God don't mean a lot to me. I can't seem to relate to Him. I don't think He cares. Praying just doesn't mean nothing. Nothing's happening. And guess where we've ended up? All the way to the edge, way apart from God, into more darkness, then eventually, boom. God's people can be in total darkness. Now, we can still belong to God, and we're going to heaven, but we're not even practicing the truth anymore. We're just kind of out there, and we're kind of dead. Now, what I showed you here, I'm going to leave that up for a moment, is just a progression over time. Now, the kicker is, If we commit really one strong sin, thought, or whatever actions on our own, it's easy for us to bounce out of God's eternal life, His life shining in us and through us, and into one of these other realms. And depending upon the sin and our desire, we can just stay there or we can get right back with God. But it can happen like that. And this is what God is talking about. Be sure, Christ is talking about, be sure that your light is not darkness. Because we want to be right in the middle of all that. We want to be right in the middle of God's presence. When we live life in the shadow areas of darkness, then our belief in God can become weak. Now, here's another cool question. Y'all ready for your thinking caps this morning? What is lurking? You're not. Somebody shook their head this way. No, I'm just kidding. What is hanging out? What is hanging out in the shadow areas? What is lurking in the shadows? Kind of creepy if you think about it. Yes.
Sin.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. Sin is lurking. Absolutely. Temptation. And when I sat down, I wanted to do like a list of things, and I kept coming up with the same thing we kept talking about week after week or mentioned many times. Then it hit me. Here's what's lurking in the darkness. You ready for this? Satan himself. This is where Satan lives. Satan lives in darkness, and spiritual darkness invokes everything that is anti-God. So yes, we may do things on our own to get out under God's pure light, but guess what we're doing when we do that? We're running away from the arms of God. We're running all the way over here to the arms of Satan and his world and living in that darkness. And it's a choice. We can choose either to get out of that or we can stay right where we are. So in that, I want to continue to reading these scriptures here. I think, we'll put this back up with another scripture to it. It says, this is the message we heard from Jesus. Now, declare to you, God is what? Light. You remember what light is. It's not a shiny thing. It is God's presence, his goodness, and all that we've looked at. And there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. That last part really bothered me. We're not practicing the truth. And then I think I kind of got it here. If we're not careful, the only practicing of truth that we will do is come to a worship service, a Bible study, or a small group, and that's it. For the rest of the week, we're no more thinking about God. Even if we want to, things are just going on. And suddenly, we're not really practicing the truth. And what we thought was light may be actually coming into our lives, a little bit of darkness, a little bit of unsurety. And I think that's where God's people in the church as a whole in all denominations need to go beyond the Sunday. When we come here, this is an awesome day. We come here, we greet one another, and we have fellowship with God and one another. And those things encourage us, and the small group time does. But it's the way we live our lives when we are away from this place. The way we live it and how God is working in our lives. And are we walking, like we saw earlier, dead center, or are we running around in circles doing the same thing over and over and again and again and again? God wants us in the dead center. So, how do we do this then? How do we walk continually day by day? Well, I'll give that to you in a moment. I had a thought here. Oh, by the way, I meant to mention this. My son and my daughter-in-law are in the worship service today with us, and they brought Elias, who's downstairs having a great time in the nursery, and hopefully we'll get him back up here. But I just welcomed them. I meant to do that earlier. Sorry about that, guys. But getting back to what we're looking at, I don't want you to think very seriously about this. Back in the 70s and early 80s, there was a guy, you may recognize his name, named Bob Marley. He was a Jamaican jazz reggae singer. He was kind of a crazy dude, but he was an activist. He loved and worked for peace and gave all these concerts down in Jamaica. So one particular concert he was getting ready for, 2 days before, somebody came up and shot him, point-blank range. Apparently not a very good shot, but shot him anyway, injured his shoulder. 2 days later, he does his concert, and people ask him, why would you even want to do that? You know what he said? Evil does not take a day off. How can I? Then he goes, light up the darkness. Well, part of his theology is correct. Evil does not take a day off, people, out of your life and my life. But here's the good news. God does not take a day off either. And he is more powerful, more awesome, and more willing and ready to help us get through all of our needs in life. And as long as we work at and pray for and strive to be in the center of his light where it permeates our entire being and all and through us and all through us, then we can have those victories we need in life. So let's go to the next point here. How can we get back to the full light of God and push back the darkness? Well, we said it earlier, right? Relinquish all sins. How do you do that? Go back to the beginning. Believe God and his word. Our pastor's been telling us that, what, for years now? Believe God, though, just like these students shared a while ago. Beautiful setup. One person had such a belief in God that nobody was going to discourage her from praising and worshiping God. And when she praised the Lord God, what happened? The evil fled. The evil fled. But then again, it was such a witness that actually one of those kind of came back and said, well, I'm curious, what is this all about anyway? We'll get to that in a moment. But believe God in his word. Secondly, pray and confess. The reason I say that is a lot of time we do a lot of praying and for forgiving for this and that, but we really don't take the time to think, what do I need to confess? What is really going on in my life? What's going on in my heart? Why am I doing this? And give it specifically to God. I think we heard some of that today in our Bible study on prayer, that being specific and praying specific is huge. And then the third one is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When we do all that, then everything flows together. Now, here's the next scripture I want to share with you this morning. As part of John, 1 John 1, verse 5, 6, going into 7. It says here, but if we are living in the light, notice the if. Notice the if. That means we have a choice. But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Everything. Everything is cleansed. We have fellowship with one another. We are agreeing with one another because God is filling up our lives with his light. Now, what are the results? What are the results of some of this? And they're cool. Well, one of them is out right out of Galatians 5:22-25. But I put some of those up, and that'll be the next slide, Bridget. What are the results of walking in God's light? Look at that. What is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, others, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Does anybody want that in their lives all the time? I do. I know you do, too. But sometimes when we get out from under God's light and his presence, sometimes the love doesn't come across very well, or the patience, or the kindness. The second thing is that we'll have a clear direction and purpose for your life and my life. And that's really needful, because sometimes God's plan and purpose can suddenly change, and it can kind of scare us a little bit. But when we follow that, it becomes a whole lot more fulfilling in our lives. The third one is influencing people with the love of Christ. And to me, that's the biggie. When we are fully in that light and God's permeate our complete lives, guess what happens? It permeates everything else. It makes a difference. People will see the godly character, your integrity, and all the goodness that's in your life. And even if they were to reject you or reject Christ, they cannot reject your story. Just remember that. Whatever God is doing and done in your life, they truly can't deny that, because what? It's real and it's happened to you. You didn't cause it to happen on your own. God gave you a new life in Jesus Christ, and that can never, ever be taken away. So it permeates that. And remember this, the stronger the light, the stronger that is, the greater the illumination is out of your life. And here's some scriptures to back this up, okay? This is out of Luke 11:36. This is the New Living Translation. But it says, if you are filled with life with no dark corners. That's what I want to see. That's what I think God wants to speak to us today. With no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Now, isn't that awesome? I'm going to read a few more here. Just keep following along. Ephesians 5:8. For once you were full of darkness, that means dead unto Christ, But now you have the light from the Lord. So live what? As people of the light. Not of darkness, not having a bad time, but live victoriously in Him. The next verse, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Who is everyone? Not just us. People apart from God, the world out there. And then they may go praise your heavenly Father, but they will stand up and take notice. And some maybe actually turn, like at the end of the video, the girl coming back, wanting to know what's going on in this girl's life. And it's God. That is awesome. All right, John 15. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never, ever extinguish it. So, I want you to do is take your worship guide or bulletin, and at the bottom of the back side, you'll see this ring of circles going around, and you'll see a line above that. I want you to write something. I just want you to write this as we think on this. Write this question down. Where am I in God's pure light? Let me repeat that. Write the question down. Where am I? Where am I in God's pure light? I want you to look at it for a moment and think, but don't mark anything. I don't want you to mark. I just want you to look at it. Am I dead center? Or am I around that first ring, the second ring? Or, man, do I just keep bouncing in and out? Or wherever you are, right at this moment, our goal is to be in the center, because if we're just a little bit off center of God's pure light, we've gone too far already. We've gone way too far already. And that's why it's so wonderful and beautiful to be here this morning in this setting, in any setting, that allows us to come back and get into God's presence and into God's life. So, if you are here today and you know that you need to be more dead centered, well, we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. We're going to pray for just a moment and have kind of like a silent time of prayer, because I really want us to think of what God wants to do. Remember this. If we are running away from God, who are we running to? We run into the world of Satan and the darkness. We want to keep running back to God, even if we bounce in and out. Doesn't matter, as long as we keep coming back to God and growing and being stronger. The point is, where are you today in God's pure light, in His salvation, in eternal life, in His holiness, His goodness, His favor, His presence? All of that's real, man. Let's go to God in prayer. I want you to think on that for a moment.